Welcome to this podcast about Selawik River and Kotzebue Sound in Alaska. The article is produced by Coast View, written by Dr. Carl Schock, and read by Inara, an AI-generated voice. Scroll down to see pictures, maps, and dozens of embedded links to additional information. Please consider subscribing to enjoy more articles and podcasts at coastview.org. The Selawik River is about 140 miles long, originating in the Purcell Mountains near the Zane Hills, and flows generally west through the Selawik National Wildlife Refuge to Selawik Lake that drains into Hotham Inlet on Kotzebue Sound, about 65 miles southeast of Kotzebue and 9 miles west of the village of Selawik, Alaska. This area is a transition zone where the northernmost boreal forests give way to open Arctic tundra. About 21,000 lakes create a large Arctic tundra lake complex called the Kobuk-Selawik Lowlands. This lowland is characterized by broad river floodplains with numerous thaw lakes and ponds. Selawik is an Inupiaq community that straddles the Selawik River in a roadless coastal plain pitted with lakes. A series of bridges connects the otherwise isolated parts of the community to the village airport. The name was first reported in 1842 by Lieutenant Lavrenty Azagoskin of the Imperial Russian Navy, who spelled it Chilovik. The Inupiat name comes from the word Seelvik, which means place of sheafish. It was first published on a British Admiralty chart in 1854 and may have originated with one of the search expeditions for Sir John Franklin. The topographic smoothness of the Kobuk-Selawik Lowlands probably reflects the presence of a thick wedge of unconsolidated quaternary fill and permafrost beneath the river delta. This is underlain by late Jurassic to early Cretaceous andesitic volcanic rocks and early Cretaceous sedimentary rocks, intruded by Cretaceous plutons. At certain times in prehistory, this area formed a land bridge called Beringia that was up to 620 miles wide between continental North America and Siberia. A small human population, at most a few thousand people, crossed Beringia from eastern Siberia during the last glacial maximum, before expanding into the settlement of the Americas sometime after 16,500 years ago. This would have occurred when continental ice sheets still blocked the route south but were retreating, and before the land bridge was submerged by rising sea levels about 11,000 years ago. Before European contact, Hotham Inlet was an important trading center. From mid-July until late August, many boatloads of Inupiat from the Noatak, Kobuk, and Selawik rivers traveled to Hotham Inlet, where they met people from Shishmaref, Cape Prince of Wales, Diomede Islands, King Island, and Siberia. Inland Inupiat brought furs, dried fish, jade, and other interior products to trade for seal skins, seal oil, and other coastal goods. By the mid-17th century, Russians had penetrated northeastern Siberia. Thereafter, European goods began to flow into Alaska from the Chukchi and the Siberian Yupik by way of the Diomede Islands and Cape Prince of Wales. As early as the beginning of the 18th century, these latter people became middlemen in thriving intercontinental trade, and Hotham Inlet became an important distribution center for all of Northwest Alaska. In 1826, Europeans arrived, beginning with Captain Frederick W. Beechey on HMS Blossom. Beechey was tasked with exploring the Bering Strait in concert with Sir John Franklin, who explored from the east to find a navigable passage through the Arctic. After 1850, whaling ships began to frequent the Arctic Ocean in large numbers every summer, and inland and coastal Inupiat traded with these vessels as well as with each other. In 1883, Lieutenant George M. Stoney of the U.S. Navy was detailed to the U.S. revenue cutter Thomas Corwin, a ship that had been cruising in the Arctic Ocean each summer since 1880 to protect American whaling interests and to prevent the illicit sale of liquor to the Inupiat. The officers of the Corwin were also supposed to enforce the law prohibiting the sale of breech loading arms and ammunition to the Inupiat, a source of hardship, as many had purchased rifles before the law was enacted and could no longer obtain ammunition. Stoney explored the Kobuk-Selawik Lowlands during the summers of 1884 and 1885, and stayed through the winter of 1885 to 1886 to explore the interior east of Kotzebue Sound. The Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971 conveyed around 363,000 acres of this land to Alaska Native village corporations. In 1980, Selawik National Wildlife Refuge was created by the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, covering about 2.15 million acres. The Inupiat way of life is rooted in subsistence traditions, with many people in the area relying on local natural resources for much of their food and income. Subsistence here also involves cultural identity, strong values, family traditions, self-reliance, spirituality, personal and community health, traditional knowledge and skills, and a close connection with time, place, and the natural world. Chief fish and other whitefish, salmon, grayling, northern pike, caribou, moose, seals, small game, and abundant migratory birds are major subsistence resources. Although Pacific salmon have been documented in the drainage, they are not abundant, so residents depend more on other fish, including northern pike, burbot, and several whitefish species. Five whitefish species occur in the Selawik River drainage. Shefish, broad whitefish, and humpback whitefish are relatively large and widely targeted in subsistence fisheries. Least cisco and round whitefish are smaller and less significant. All whitefish species are anadromous broadcast spawners, spawning in late autumn in flowing water over gravel. Eggs drift downstream and settle among gravel spaces they develop through the winter, hatch in spring, and emerge into the water column just as spring and early summer flows swell the waterways. Tiny juveniles are carried downstream to varied, often random destinations, including backwaters, off-channel lakes, and estuaries. After growing for several years, young whitefish mature and prepare to spawn. From midsummer onwards, they migrate upstream to known spawning sites each year, suggesting high fidelity to natal areas. After spawning, mature fish retreat downstream to overwintering sites and eventually move on to feeding areas by the following spring. Most whitefish species are thought to spawn every other year or even less frequently. Thank you for listening. Read the article below for more information, including dozens of links to source material and references. Please subscribe to learn more about the West Coast of North America at coastview.org.